All right. Good morning, everyone.
Oh, you're going to do mic stuff?
I have it right now. Okay.
Welcome to the 2018 WCB Convention. Are we up and live on ACB Radio yet? Let's give everybody out there in Radio Land a wonderful welcome. Okay, to present our invocation for this morning is Pastor Greg Barnett. He's with the East Renton Community Church. And we welcome Pastor Barnett.
Good morning to all of you. That volume should have awakened you if you were trying to sleep or needed some more sleep. Last night was called Halloween, a night of trick and treat. Being with you is all treat. I am honored to be here with you, pleased to be here with you. Have no sense of what it's like to be blind, but I do have a sense that all of us have lots of pleases from God and lots of thank yous to God. And I am here to help us unite and to ask our God to hear us, to pray for us, and to even help us as we pray. So if you would join me. Almighty God, you are all power. You made everything there is. You made every one of our bodies. Your son, Jesus Christ, cared about blind, and sometimes he healed and sometimes he didn't, but he always cared. I thank you, Father, that you have given us guides to help us in the blindness of life. For I know that I am blind in my thinking and blind in my decision making too many times. We come to you with our thank yous because you give care to us. You've allowed us to be at this convention. You have given us the privilege of friends. You have given us that opportunity to care about other people. You are there and you never ask us to do anything that you do not enable us to do. Your Bible tells us that you'll never give us anything that is above and beyond that which we can handle. It seems like it. But you are there and you care and you are an enabler. We thank you, Father, for your book, the Bible, and for its truth and its comfort, for its promises and for its revelation, that we can know who you are. We bring our pleases. For this convention, we ask, Father, that you might help us think your thoughts, that we might be able to figure out how to love one another, that you might give us a boldness to present the different needs that we have to you. We count on you not to give us what we deserve, but to be the God of all grace. For you have graced us not only in knowing Jesus Christ, but you have graced us with the ability to know our needs, like the number of pine needles on a tree, like the number of grains of sand on a beach, like the number of hairs on our head. You know it all. So it's easy to come and say, Lord, here are my pleases, and I thank you for hearing them and for what you're going to do with them. Bless this convention in Jesus' name. Amen, and thank you.
All right. To bring our welcome to CTAC, I'd like to introduce Erin. Again, I'm going to say her name wrong. I know I will. I'm going to guess Siderly. Okay, Erin, I like that. Mayor Erin, the mayor of CTAC.
I like this lady.
My last name used to be Thomas. It was so much easier before it was Siderly. But then I married Thomas Siderly, and maybe we could just be the Thomases. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our beautiful city of CTAC. I'm going to step back a little bit. I already have a loud voice, so... Y'all know that you're not at the airport anymore, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We've been a city for coming up on 30 years, and I still get asked, do you actually live at the airport? I said, well, sure. If that works for you, it works for me. How many of you are from around this part of the world? Okay. All right. Well, welcome. And then for the rest of you who aren't right from in this area, just a little bit about SeaTac. You're in a city of 29,130 people. We do surround the airport, although we do not own the airport, so it makes for an interesting relationship with the Port of Seattle. We have more hotel rooms than any other city in the state, with the exception of Seattle. So you, if you can't find anywhere to sleep, I don't know what to tell you. Check in with one of our other 8 bajillion hotels we have. I am so honored to be here today. As I was reading through your convention agenda and program, I was reflecting back on the life of my cousin Jim. Now, I am 55 years old, so just to give you some context. Jimmy was born with very limited vision and lost the rest of his sight before the age of 8. And he was just a couple years older than me, so... But all of us kids, we didn't know what that meant. So we put him on a dirt bike with us. Not riding with us, but riding his own. How any of us got out of childhood alive is amazing. I remember when I was 10 years old, we decided that we wanted to go skiing every weekend, and we desperately wanted Jim to go with us, and so he did. And as we got up to Snoqualmie Summit, we realized that there was actually a program called Ski for All, and I actually became my cousin's ski partner, and boy, that guy could go. He could race better than anybody in the rest of our family. He beat us all the time. But that was my first... taste of advocacy for the blind. And it made a huge difference in my life, knowing that there was so much more out there for my cousin Jim. And he embraced life, and man, he lived it. So later on in life, I became a speech therapist, and never knew at the time I was in college, never knew how many limited people with limited vision I would work with. And I have leaned on the Lighthouse for the Blind. I have leaned on the Washington Council for the Blind many, many, many times to help me help my patients. So I honor the work of this organization, and I honor each and every one of you who are coming out and keeping this advocacy effort going. It's so important. And I thank you, not only as the mayor of SeaTac, but as a citizen of this world, I thank you for everything that you do and everything that you bring to our great area. And I hope you have a great convention. I am now going to go jump in my car and see some patients, one of whom is actually cortically blind. And I am leaning heavily on Lighthouse to give me a hand with this guy, because he's really having a tough time. So if you'll all think about him today and send him some positive energy, his name is Matt, and I will take all the energy that I'm getting from you guys and go out and do my very best, and have a great convention. Welcome to SeaTac. Enjoy yourselves, and we'll see you again soon, I hope.
All right. Thank you so much.
You know, the scary part of that is how many of us as kids would have thought it was really cool to ride a dirt bike? Oh, been there, done that. Okay. Well, to bring us the welcome from our host chapter is somebody who really doesn't need any introduction, because I think everybody in this room knows him. Please help me welcome the president of the South King Council of the Blind, Kevin Daniel.
Thank you.
Well, good morning. A year ago, we talked about this convention, and I said, man, it's a year, it's a long time, and now it's here. Just want to welcome you on behalf of the 23 members of the South King Council of the Blind. This weekend is probably shaping up to be one of the biggest and best conventions in our history. Registration is up. The excitement around the building as you walk around the hotel is up. We are in the perfect city. And the mood of the convention committee as we planned this event was high. So we're looking for some excitement, but it's really up to all of us. We got work to do. The blind cause hasn't moved significantly like all of us hoped. There's been some accomplishments. There's been some improvements. But when you become a senior director, when you are able to have an income to buy a home, to send a kid to college, and someone sees you with a cane and they go, I sure feel sorry for him, we got work to do. When you work at the biggest and best lighthouse for the blind in the country, and the blind in leadership still aren't yet the majority, we got work to do. When you have politicians who think it's more important to call each other names and talk about fake news rather than to help us advocate for the disabled, we got work to do. So this weekend, the work we all have to do starts yesterday. Let's have fun, because it's going to be a fun weekend. But let's be really serious about the fact we got work to do. Our kids, our grandkids, who may also be blind for most of us who have the gene, we owe it to them to work this weekend. So things are a little bit better. So in 25 years, the president of the South King Council of the Blind, 25 years from now, stands up in front of all of you and says, we did it. Thank you guys. Have a great weekend.
It's no wonder that chapter has so much fun. Cindy, do you have any announcements? Do we have a couple of people who can do our roving mics this morning?
We have them. Was there a hand up?
Cindy.
Thank you. Hi. So, first of all, are you having a good time? Well, I'm excited to say that we are at about, I think, 222 registered so far. And the number keeps growing, which is great. And this room is set up for 120 people, and we're full. So I just let Banquet know that we needed a row of chairs against the back wall. So that's exciting, because we've got too many people in here, and that's great.
Yeah.
All right. Couple of quick things. Lunch, somehow we did not put the room in the program. Common question. But I think most of you could figure it out. We will be, for lunch, in the Summit Ballroom. To go to lunch, you need to have either a yellow or orange dot on your registration tag. Yellow is for all of the meals. Orange is for Friday only. So please make sure that you are wearing your name tag and you have the appropriate dot. And if you don't, go check with registration. They're only there till noon. As people are registering, we're making sure that names are getting put into the door prize drawings. So we do have our door prize person here somewhere. Shannon, are you in the room? Okay, I think she's over there somewhere. We have a very excited chapter, host chapter. Denise, one of the things that I learned is our Whatcom County chapter they have a little house party going on, and they're listening to us on ACB Radio. So let's say hi to some of our members that couldn't be here. Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. Again, I mentioned this last night, but I want to mention it today because there were some people that weren't in there. The relieving area at the front of the building, it's been moved from where it originally was. So when you go out the door, make a left, go till there's a dip in the sidewalk, turn to your right and cross the driveway, and there will be the relieving area. And then tonight's Life Members Reception has been moved to the Summit Ballroom from Queen Anne, because we got too big, which is a good thing. And let's see. The multi-raffle will be open from 2 to 5 in Queen Anne on the 12th floor. Tickets are $5, and there's limited supply of tickets. Once 500 tickets are sold, no more will be sold. So if you want to ensure you get your tickets for these wonderful packages that Lisa's put together with the help of all of you, you'll want to go into Queen Anne sometime between 2 and 5, because even though they'll be for sale again tomorrow at the pre-banquet hour, they will only be for sale if we have some to sell, right? Credit cards are accepted if you spend $25 or more. So let's see. Exhibits will be open from 10 to 5 in the three gateway rooms, which are Magnolia, Capitol, and Beacon. Gateway is where hospitality was last night. Did any of you go to hospitality last night? Well, then you should be able to find exhibits. Okay. Your vendor list is in your packet with your program. So if you want to know who's in what room, it's in there. Exhibits will be closed the noon hour. So, let's see. I think that's everything. You're on your own for tonight for dinner. There's also a list of area restaurants. If you want to go outside of this hotel, the hotel restaurant can only handle about 60 people. So you may want to consider that. And that list is also in your packet. Be back early, though, so you can enjoy our showcase of talent tonight. I know there were a lot of people signed up. I don't know how many are actually performing, but that's at 7:30 tonight, and it's in this room, so Matrona. Any quick questions for me? You had a question.
Just a sec. Here's a microphone for her.
What's your question?
This is Debbie Phillips, and I'm probably preaching to the choir, and I don't know, I have no idea where the problem was, but guys, remember out in the main dog relief area, you gotta clean up. I stepped in dog dew, and I had a wonderful evening last night cleaning things up.
Debbie, thank you for mentioning that, because yesterday I was going to actually mention that today, and it should not have to be mentioned, and it makes me angry that you stepped in something, because yesterday twice I went out with my dog, and Tim happened to be with me, and both times he picked up dog crap from somebody else's dog, both times, and if I had gone out there by myself, likely I would have stepped in it. So, this morning, when I picked up after my dog, I know I also picked up after somebody else's dog, because, you know, warm, cold, you know. Anyway, so please, you guys, this is a public and community area. Be respectful. Pay attention to what your dog is doing, and take care of your personal situation. That's appreciated. Thank you, Debbie, for bringing that up.
Those of us who could show you how.
Yeah, certainly. If you don't know how to do that, although every guide dog handler should know how to clean up after their dog, it's taught in guide dog training. But if you need that revisited, please come see somebody, and we'll be happy to help you. Not clean up for you, but help you learn how to do it. So, all right, anything else?
This is Colette. Can I just ask if anybody who has an empty chair next to them, please raise your hand if it's not being saved, because there are a lot of people standing in the back. So we've got one empty chair up front. Is there somebody in the back that would like to come up? So I see 1, 2, 3, 4. We've got at least 4 chairs up here. Would you like to come?
So while they're helping people find seats, I also wanted to mention if you do have door prizes to donate, you can leave them at registration through noon today, and we'll get them to Shannon. All right. I think that's it. Thanks, Denise. Have a good time, you guys.
Okay, I know that people are trying to still find seats, but I would ask that we try to do that quietly and that we don't have any extraneous talking in this room. If you need to have a conversation with somebody, please take it out in the hall. And please turn off cell phones, because if we hear too many of them, we're going to start charging as a fundraiser. All right, Burl has an announcement. Can we get a mic to Burl? Get a mic to Burl, please.
Oh.
Do we have someone who has a mic?
Yeah, she just brought it to me.
Thank you.
At the registration table, there are two Braille copies of the budget for those who want to peruse it. You'll have to keep it there because there's only two, so you can't let them travel. But take a look at that if you want to. We'll be dealing with that again tomorrow afternoon in the business meeting. The second announcement is there's an envelope there, and they're aware of it at the table. And they have application forms for the monthly monetary support program that ACB has and WCB has, because what we want you to do is sign up and mark the slot that says half your donation goes to ACB and half goes to WCB. We'd like to see a number of those forms come out of here. We'll take them, send them to the Minneapolis office, and actually it's the Brooklyn office, but we'll send it there, and they will handle it from there. So anyway, you got those forms, and you got those budgets to look at.
Thank you, Burl. The monthly monetary support program is a program where you designate a certain amount to come out of your account each month, and then you can designate half of it to go to ACB and half of it to go to WCB. So if you have not signed up, please consider it. If you've signed up and want to increase your donation amount, please consider that, and there'll be somebody out there to assist you in filling out the forms. Pardon? Well, you know, I might be able to talk Shannon into giving me one of the door prizes. So we just may have a prize for a drawing for those people who sign up for the first time. Oh, Shannon says we think we can do that. Okay, so we're going to have a prize for a drawing for the people who sign up for the first time. All right. Good morning to all of you here at the convention and to those of you listening out there on ACB Radio. It's again a true honor for me to come before you for my first year report, president's report, of my second go-round as your president. This year has been a year of reestablishing myself and getting the lay of the land, as well as beginning the process of charting our course for the next couple of years. It's been a year of many transitions, phone calls, committee meetings, emails, and a lot of collaboration and decision-making. And whether you are here at the Crown Plaza at this convention in person or listening on ACB Radio, you are all an integral part of our dynamic and democratic organization. I begin my year reviewing our WCB committees, identifying a few new committee chairs, and making committee assignments.
And I want to acknowledge the great participation and support from so many of you out there at the local chapter and special interest affiliate level, as well as those of you serving on committees dealing with the issues that are impacting all of us. Without all of your efforts, there would be no Washington Council of the Blind. I have enjoyed participating on many of the committee calls and hearing about the goals and the great work being accomplished. I also want to recognize and thank the other 11 members of the WCB Board of Directors. They have kept me on track with overseeing all facets of the day-to-day operation of a successful organization. And finally, I want to take a special moment, a point of privilege, to recognize and thank my husband and my best friend, who daily continues to be incredibly supportive, making it possible for me to focus on my WCB and ACB work. I couldn't do all that I do without him. Somebody up here said the question is, which husband? You're going to get me in trouble. In January, we held our first WCB board meeting of the year. And on the Friday evening prior to that meeting, the board met to discuss the direction for the coming year. Three main priorities were identified: an overhaul and facelift to our website and WCB brochure, revitalization of the WCB newsline, and identification of some specific issue-oriented projects, such as the work needing to be done on prescription drug labeling and service animal issues, which we all could work on statewide. In both cases, this could encompass both advocacy and legislation. One of our successes this year was the passage of a key piece of legislation related to the status of service animals in Washington State. House Bill 2822 now makes it a civil infraction for anyone to misrepresent an animal as a service animal for the purposes of securing the rights or privileges afforded to disabled persons. If a person is found to have committed such a civil infraction, they will be assessed a monetary penalty. And I want to say thank you to our guide dog users of Washington State affiliate for their hard work on this legislation. We began the work on the website by enlisting the services of Jonathan Mosen, who is with Mosen Consulting. Jonathan is a blind individual with the needed knowledge we needed to build an accessible, user-friendly website. And the plan is to create templates and structures so that committees can upload their own content to the website in the future. While this transition was in the works, we discovered that our former webmaster had left, taking with him the information needed to get into the back end of the site and all the needed coding. And what this meant is that we must basically start over and build our website from scratch. This year, our emphasis has been to recreate both our scholarship application and our convention registration information. And I suspect that all of you could say how much easier registration was this year. This was accomplished successfully. However, if you were at the board meeting last night, you heard Deb Lewis share the fact that Jonathan has taken a full-time position with IRA. So we are back to square one in terms of finding a webmaster. However, we have several referrals to check out. And in the meantime, we'll be meeting with committees to talk about their information priorities for the site. On April 7th, we were all shocked to learn of the sudden passing away of Second Vice President Sue Amador. Sue served as the first president of the newly merged Washington Council of the Blind. She was one of the true leaders of the blindness movement, and her tireless advocacy and legislative work on behalf of people who are blind and visually impaired is the legacy that she has left us. Then, on the 11th of May, we lost Marlena Lieberg, another longtime member of WCB and another tireless advocate for the rights of blind and visually impaired people. Marlena is also remembered by many of us for her devoted work with ACB Radio and the plethora of fun and informative interviews she did on her two weekly shows, Blind Spot and Marlena. And it's with heavy hearts that we had to say goodbye to these two great advocates and friends. Their strong leadership will be greatly missed throughout the WCB and ACB families. One of the advocacy issues Sue was assisting us with was around prescription drug labeling, and specifically the issues Marlena was having with Bartels. One of the last things Sue did, was to convene a task force made up of representation from WCB, NFBW, the Governor's Committee on Disability Issues and Employment, the Human Rights Commission, and Disability Rights Washington. Deb Lewis and I represent WCB on that work group, and we are currently exploring how best to move forward, either through legislation or rulemaking on this issue. In June, we held our first WCB caucus via Zoom Cloud prior to arriving at the National Convention. And this gave members unable to go to the convention an opportunity to hear from and ask questions of the national candidates and be a more active part of the process. I think it worked very well. I think it was successful, and we will do it again this year. As you also heard last night, the Department of Services for the Blind is dealing with some tough things right now, and one is the need to go into order of selection. The other is the whole issue around the independent living, older blind independent living program. And I'm not going to talk this morning about what all has transpired, but we have been actively involved from the outset in terms of trying to provide direction. I will tell you that WCB did go on record as stating that we do not, we're not in favor of order of selection. We don't believe that it is necessarily the best way to go, but it had to be done. And so our goal was to ensure that all of the counselors around the state would be applying the rules of order of selection equally. And so that one part of the state wasn't getting something another part of the state was getting. We are also actively working with independent living providers to take a look at how do we apply providing independent living services across the board for those individuals needing those services for the remainder of this year. And I'm sure that Luoma will be telling us more about all of that tomorrow morning in her report. In August, the WCB board and a few other key leaders met for an action planning workshop. It was a weekend. We did this in lieu of our board meeting. And the purpose of this was to engage in critical discussion and planning for the future direction of WCB. The work of WCB was divided into five initiatives.
We went through everything that we do, and we were able to put them into five key initiatives. And they included development and fundraising, marketing and communications, membership, including convention, advocacy, legislation, and policy, and organizational structure, which would include all other meetings. We brought Executive Director Eric Bridges of ACB out to assist us, to help us facilitate this planning session. We identified the strengths and challenges WCB has as a whole in each of the five action areas. And we then identified goals to prioritize the initiatives previously identified with a plan to implement and the benefit of doing so. Some of these goals included such things as creating leadership training for committee chairs at the beginning of the year, probably via conference call or Zoom, with quarterly follow-up meetings, rebuilding our advocacy organization and our advocacy committee, scholarship and first-timer follow-up to mentor and promote membership development, refining and updating all of our communication tools to better tell our story, and creation maintenance of a Facebook and Twitter page, create both Facebook and Twitter committees to focus on our social media presence, and create an annual report highlighting WCB accomplishments. And this is really important to us, and we are really going to be counting on community chairs to provide us with a little better information as to what you're doing so that we can create an annual report. And then identify and create a database of individual donors and corporations and create an endowment fund. We now are in the process of taking all of the ideas that were identified and identifying who has the responsibility for that activity. Is it an individual? Is it a committee? Giving that information to those committees and then asking those committees to prioritize the activities they've been given in terms of when they believe these things could be accomplished, and putting some timelines around some things. So you will be hearing more about that. We're an organization with a lot of potential. However, to achieve this potential will require the efforts of many of us. And as I've said many times before, WCB is not just about the officers and directors. It is only when we all do our small part that we will continue to grow and thrive. As I share with you more about the key areas we want to focus on, I hope that many of you will reach out to me and let me know where you believe you would best fit. Thank you. Place again. I'm switching files. Well, next is an exciting thing. We're going to get to hear from our nominating committee. I'm going to have him give the slate coming out of nomination first, and then I will move into explaining sort of what we're going to do and how the process works. So, Burrell, would you like to give your first nominating committee report? Earl needs a microphone.
Thank you. The 2018 nominating committee, which was comprised of that he composed. I'm getting some feedback here, folks. From Spokane, Debbie Clark, and from Clarkston, kind of hard to say that nowadays, Clarkston, Deb Lewis, and myself, and we're submitting the following slate for the consideration of the convention. For the office of second vice president, Jeff Bishop. Jeff works for Microsoft, lives in Redmond with his wife Carrie. For the office of secretary, submitting the name of Frank Cuda. Frank lives in Hanford, is a retired electrical engineer and lives there with his wife Judy. The three board positions this year. We're submitting the name of Reginald George.
Well, that's being formal.
Okay, Reggie, sorry. Okay. And Reggie works for DSB, lives in Yakima with his wife Lisa. Then we're submitting the name of Julie Brannon. Julie also works for DSB, lives in Seattle with her husband,
Nathan.
Nathan. I just.
Yeah. Is there something we need to know?
Is that the right one, Julie? And lastly, we have for the board, Heather Muir. Heather lives in Walla Walla and is a homemaker and is single.
All right. That's too much information.
Did she request that that be put in the air?
No. All right. So we are going to take the offices one at a time. If you are wishing to express your intent to run for that position, when we get to the board positions, it's not you're gonna tell me who you're gonna run against. I just need to know that you're gonna want to run. And all you need to tell me this morning is that yes, your intention is to run for office. So I will begin with the office of second vice president. And I have already been asked, because she is out of the room doing a yeoman's job with registration, that Lori Allison will also be submitting her name for second vice president. Is there anyone else wishing to submit their name for second vice president?
Hello.
There you go.
Hello, guys. My name is Danielle Marr, those who don't know me, and I would like to go for that job, and I'd be happy to work for you, and thank you.
No speeches this morning, just that you want to. Thank you, Danielle. Anyone else? All right. For the office of secretary, is there anyone else wishing to put their name in for that position? All right. For the board, is there anyone else wishing to put their name in for a board position?
Danette.
Okay. Anyone else?
Jenny.
Jenny. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. So the way this will work, guys, is... The way this will work is that tomorrow afternoon, the nominating committee will give this slate one more time, and then we will take the positions one at a time. You need to, if you're coming from the floor, you will need to have someone put your name in nomination when I get to that position. You are allowed two speakers. You will be given 3 minutes total for your two speakers. Does anybody have any questions about that process?
Can we turn? Oh, there we go.
This is Darlene. You have to talk a little bit about yourself when you.
Well,
just it, trying to.
Yeah, if you're going to run for a position, you are going to want your speakers to talk about you, why you're a good candidate, tell a little bit about what you've done in WCB.
Right.
You know.
And you need to ask.
Yes.
The other person.
Yes. If you're going to if you're going to have somebody speak for you, please talk to them ahead of time. Don't don't just from the floor say, "Oh, so and so is going to speak for me," and surprise them.
Thank you.
Surprise! You get to talk for me. Yeah. Any other questions?
No hands.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, nominating committee. You did a yeoman's job. You know what was so exciting this year is we had candidates. We had more than just one candidate for each position. So that was awesome. All right. Well, you heard last night that we have 13 constitutional amendments. We are going to begin this morning with the reading of those proposed amendments. Please remember that this is just reading. We're not having any discussion about them at this point. They have to be read once before we actually read them and have conversation about them. So at this point, I will turn the mic over to Frank Cuter, our Constitution and Bylaws Committee Chair.
By the way, it sounds echoey up here, but in the rest of the room, it sounds great. It sounds good. Okay, we're going to go through, we're going to right into it. This lasts about 20 minutes. It's the first. We have 13 amendments, and we're going to start with this set now, and we'll read some more at lunch and a few more this afternoon. But right now, remember, this is first reading. It's required by the Constitution. We'll actually, the Constitution and Bylaws Committee will be bringing all 13 of them to the business meeting for a vote on Saturday afternoon. So ready to go, David.
Amendment 2018-5. This is the first of 9 new amendments submitted by the Finance Committee. This change adds a definition of member in good standing, which will be referenced in various bylaws as an eligibility requirement. A principal consequence is that members who are in default will not be eligible for many WCB services, nor to run for office until the problem is resolved. This change also raises the voting age to 18 to be consistent with ACB. It further restricts the privileges of junior members. Current language, Article 3, Membership, Section 1, Members. At least the majority of the voting members of this organization must be legally blind. Membership in the organization shall not be denied on account of race, color, national origin, age, 16 or over, gender, sexual orientation, marital status, religion, political ideology, or physical, mental, or sensory disability. All voting members of its affiliates who have reached the age of 16 shall automatically become voting members of this organization with the right to vote, present motions, speak on the floor, serve on committees, and hold office, provided that their dues have been paid to this organization at least 30 days prior to the commencement of the annual convention or special meeting. Any person who is not a member of an affiliate and who has reached the age of 16 may become a voting member at large of this organization, provided his, her dues have been paid at least 30 days prior to the commencement of the annual convention or special meeting. Section 2, Junior Members. All members of affiliates under the age of 16 shall automatically become junior members of this organization. Junior members shall pay dues and have all of the rights and privileges of membership except that they may not vote, hold office, serve on the board of directors, or receive stipends. Proposed language. Article 3, Membership, Section 1, Members. At least the majority of the voting members of this organization must be legally blind. Membership in the organization shall not be denied on account of race, color, national origin, age, 18 or over, gender, sexual orientation, marital status, religion, political ideology, or physical, mental, or sensory disability. All voting members of WCB affiliates who have reached the age of 18 shall automatically become voting members of this organization with the right to vote, present motions, speak on the floor, serve on committees, and hold office, provided they are in good standing. Any person who is not a member of an affiliate and who has reached the age of 18 may become a voting member at large of this organization, provided he/she is in good standing. Members in good standing are not delinquent in dues or loan repayments, have not been disqualified from applying for loans, and their WCB dues have been paid to this organization at least 30 days prior to the commencement of the annual convention or special meeting. Only members in good standing are eligible for the WCB privileges of running for elected office, receiving stipends, loans, monetary awards, and or travel reimbursement, and representing WCB at conventions and seminars. Section 2, Junior Members. All members of affiliates under the age of 18 shall automatically become junior members of this organization. Junior members shall pay dues and have all of the rights and privileges of membership except that they may not vote, hold office, serve on the board of directors, or receive stipends or loans. Amendment 2018-6. This change specifies that only members in good standing are eligible to apply for and receive stipends and or loans to the ACB convention, and defines the consequences for not participating as expected. It also removes language regarding specifics of the promissory note. Current language, Bylaw 3, WCB stipends and loans to attend the ACB convention. A, travel stipend. Each year, when provided for in the budget, WCB members may request a travel stipend from WCB to attend the ACB National Convention. Each year, on or before its first board meeting, the board shall set the amount of this stipend, the application deadline, and identify a point of contact. Each applicant must personally either call or write the designated point of contact and request a stipend after confirmation of eligibility by the president or his/her designee. The WCB treasurer will write a check to each individual for the stipend amount within 1 month of the application deadline. B, no interest loan. Each year, WCB members may request a no interest loan from WCB to attend the ACB National Convention. Each year, on or before its first board meeting, the board shall set the maximum limit of this loan and set the application deadline. All applicants must personally either call or email the president or his or her designee and request such a loan. After confirmation of eligibility by the president or his/her designee, a promissory note will be sent to the applicant. A check will be sent to the applicant when WCB receives the signed promissory note. C, eligibility and expectations. In order to receive either a stipend or a loan from WCB to attend the ACB convention, an individual needs to have been a WCB member for at least 1 year prior to the day of the opening session of the convention and must have no outstanding WCB loan payments in default. It is anticipated that both stipend and loan recipients will participate in the convention in general, including plenary sessions and meetings of special interest affiliates. Unless other arrangements are approved in advance by the WCB president, these individuals will be required to attend WCB caucus meetings and be seated with our delegation during the principal business session, dates and times as published in the ACB convention program for that year. In addition, loan recipients must sign a promissory note, which stipulates that the loan will be paid back in 10 consecutive payments of 10% of the total loan. Proposed language. Bylaw 3, WCB stipends and loans to attend the ACB convention. A, travel stipends. Each year, when provided for in the budget, WCB members in good standing may request a travel stipend from WCB to attend the ACB National Convention. at or before its first board meeting of the calendar year, the board shall set the amount of this stipend, the application deadline, and identify a point of contact. Each applicant must personally either call or write the designated point of contact and request a stipend. After eligibility has been confirmed by the president or his/her designee, the WCB treasurer will write a check to each individual for the stipend amount within 1 month of the application deadline. B. WCB loans. Each year, WCB members in good standing may request a loan from WCB to attend the ACB National Convention. At or before its first board meeting of the calendar year, the board shall set the maximum amount of each loan, the application deadline, and identify a point of contact. All applicants must personally either call or email the point of contact to request a loan. After eligibility has been confirmed by the president or his/her designee, a promissory note will be sent to the applicant. Upon receipt of a signed promissory note, the WCB treasurer will write a check to the individual. C. Eligibility and expectations. In order to receive either a stipend or a loan from WCB to attend the ACB convention, an individual must have been a WCB member for at least 1 year prior to the day of the opening session of the convention and must be a member in good standing. It is expected that both stipend and loan recipients will participate in the convention in general, including plenary sessions and meetings of special interest affiliates. Unless other arrangements are approved in advance by the WCB president, these individuals will be required to attend WCB caucus meetings. They will also be required to be seated with our delegation during the principal business session, dates and times as published in the ACB convention program for that year. Any stipend and or loan recipient not meeting the requirements may be asked by action of the board to repay the stipend and or loan within 30 days of the end of the convention. Amendment 2018-7. This change limits eligibility to members in good standing. Current language. Bylaw 4. WCB first-timers to ACB convention. B. Eligibility and expectations. In order to be considered for this award, an individual needs to have never previously attended an ACB convention. The applicant must have been a WCB member for at least 1 year prior to the day of the opening session of the convention and must have no outstanding WCB loan payments in default. It is anticipated that first-timer recipients will participate in the convention in general, including plenary sessions and meetings of special interest affiliates. Unless other arrangements are approved in advance by the WCB president, these individuals will be required to attend WCB caucus meetings and be seated with our delegation during the principal business session dates and times as published in the ACB convention program for that year. First-timers must write an article for the newsline relating their experience at the convention. Proposed language. Bylaw 4, WCB first-timers to ACB convention. B. Eligibility and expectations. In order to be considered for this award, an individual needs to have never previously attended an ACB convention. The applicant must have been a WCB member for at least 1 year prior to the day of the opening session of the convention and must be a member in good standing. It is expected that first-timer recipients will participate in the convention in general, including plenary sessions and meetings of the special interest affiliates. Unless other arrangements are approved in advance by the WCB president, these individuals will be required to attend WCB caucus meetings. They will also be required to be seated with our delegation during the principal business session dates and times as published in the ACB convention program for that year. Any recipient not meeting the requirements may be asked by action of the board to repay the award within 30 days of the end of the convention. First-timers must write an article for the newsline relating their experience at the convention. Amendment 2018-8, This change limits eligibility to members in good standing. Current language. Bylaw 5, WCB representative to ACB affiliate president's meeting. C, eligibility and expectations. A member selected to serve as alternate representative to the ACB annual president's meeting must have been a member for 1 year prior to the date of the annual president's meeting and have attended at least one ACB convention. No one may serve who has outstanding WCB loan payments in default. Proposed language. Bylaw 5, WCB representative to ACB affiliate president's meeting. C, eligibility and expectations. A member selected to serve as alternate representative to the ACB annual president's meeting must have been a member for 1 year prior to the date of the annual president's meeting, have attended at least one ACB convention, and be a member in good standing. Amendment 2018-9. This change limits eligibility to members in good standing. Current language, Bylaw 6, WCB representatives to the ACB Legislative Seminar. B, eligibility and expectations. Applicants must have been a WCB member for at least 1 year prior to the date of the seminar and must have no outstanding WCB loan payments in default. Each applicant must submit a personal letter to the president requesting this appointment. The following eligibility criteria will be evaluated in this selection process. 1. Either current or past service on the WCB Government Affairs Committee. 2. Personal experience directly contacting Congress or our state legislature regarding issues affecting the lives of persons who are blind. 3. Participation in congressional or legislative hearings on such issues. 4. A history of writing letters to their congressional and legislative representatives regarding such issues. 5. A personal, strong, and convincing commitment to engage in one or more of activities 1 through 4 after they return from the seminar. As soon as possible after their return, attendees must submit an article to the Newsline on their seminar experience. Proposed language, Bylaw 6, WCB representatives to the ACB Legislative Seminar. B, eligibility and expectations. Applicants must have been a WCB member for at least 1 year prior to the date of the seminar and must be a member in good standing. Each applicant must submit a personal letter to the president requesting this appointment. The following eligibility criteria will be evaluated in this selection process. 1. Either current or past service on the WCB Government Affairs Committee. 2. Personal experience directly contacting Congress or our state legislature regarding issues affecting the lives of persons who are blind. 3. Participation in congressional or legislative hearings on such issues. 4. A history of writing letters to their congressional and legislative representatives regarding such issues. 5. A personal, strong, and convincing commitment to engage in one or more of activities 1 through 4 after they return from the seminar. As soon as possible after their return, attendees must submit an article to the Newsline on their seminar experience. Amendment 2018-10. This change limits eligibility to members in good standing and defines consequences for officers and board members who are delinquent on loan repayment. Current language, Bylaw 7. WCB sponsored attendance to state board meetings and seminars. C, eligibility and expectations. In order to qualify for WCB sponsorship to attend a board meeting or seminar, an individual must have been a WCB member for at least 3 months prior to the date of the specific event. This requirement may be waived for charter members of new WCB affiliates. No member will qualify for sponsorship to a special seminar if they have outstanding WCB loan payments in default. Eligibility will be confirmed by the president or his/her designee. If an elected officer or board member falls behind in a loan payment, they must immediately contact the WCB president and make arrangements to pay off the loan in a lump sum or reschedule the payments to make it possible to pay it off by the deadline before services will be resumed. Officers, board members, and affiliate representatives are required to attend regularly scheduled board meetings, and board members are expected to also participate in the less formal monthly board telephone conference calls. Board members and affiliate representatives must make reports of the regularly scheduled board meetings that they attend at their respective local affiliate meetings. Proposed language. Bylaw 7, WCB sponsored attendance to state board meetings and seminars. C, eligibility and expectations. In order to qualify for WCB sponsorship to attend a board meeting or seminar, an individual must have been a WCB member for at least 3 months prior to the date of the specific event and must be a member in good standing. This requirement may be waived for charter members of new WCB affiliates. Eligibility will be confirmed by the president or his/her designee. If an elected officer or board member becomes delinquent on a WCB loan, the loan may be required to be immediately repaid in full, and he/she will not be eligible for paid board meeting or seminar travel expenses. At the discretion of the treasurer, reimbursable expenses paid directly by the affected member may be applied against his/her outstanding loan balance. Officers and board members are required to attend regularly scheduled board meetings unless excused by the president in advance. Amendment 2018-11. This change limits eligibility to members in good standing. Current language, Bylaw 8, member incentives to attend the WCB State Convention. E, eligibility and expectations. All recipients of the above sponsorships to the WCB State Convention must have been a member for 6 months as of the opening day of the convention. The 6-month requirement may be waived for charter members of new WCB affiliates. No member will be selected as a first-timer nor qualify for a travel stipend or free room who has an outstanding WCB loan in default. Proposed language. Bylaw 8, member incentives to attend the WCB State Convention. E, eligibility and expectations. All recipients of the above sponsorships to the WCB State Convention must have been members for at least 6 months as of the opening day of the convention and must also be members in good standing. The 6-month requirement may be waived for charter members of new WCB affiliates. Amendment 2018-12. This change limits eligibility to members in good standing. Current language, Bylaw 9, WCB Equipment Loan Program. B, eligibility. In order to qualify for a WCB equipment loan, an individual must have been a member for 6 months prior to the date of the application and must not have any outstanding WCB loans in default. Proposed language. Bylaw 9, WCB Equipment Loan Program. B, eligibility. In order to qualify for a WCB equipment loan, an individual must have been a member for 6 months prior to the date of the application and, for the life of the loan, must be a member in good standing.
Okay, that made me tired. We're just beginning. There are copies of the constitutional amendments out at the registration desk if anybody wants to pick one up. As I said a little bit earlier, this has been a difficult year for us in the loss of two very vital members of our organization. And we kind of wanted to do something a little special today to honor them. So Frank is doing double duty here. I'm going to introduce him to introduce our next segment.
I hear you're going to get real tired of me before this convention is over. The Washington Council of the Blind is the most active and largest consumer organization of blind people in the state. Let's hear it. Come on. How many of you are out there? Let's hear it. The most active, largest, most powerful organization in this state. Sue Amater and Marlene Lieberg were two of our most vigorous, outspoken, eloquent consumer advocates. The following audio montage is recordings that I put together that have been made over the past 10 years of things that they've said. First, it's a remembrance. So if you have something to say, then person next to you, please take it out of the room. Second, if you want a refresher in consumer advocacy, listen to the following. Go ahead, David.
Amendment 2018-5.
Hello, world on ACB Radio from the greatest affiliate of the American Council of the Blind. Right, you guys? You know, one of the joys for me of being an involved member of the Washington Council of the Blind is every year my spirit is regenerated, my motivation gets a jolt at the banquet, and it's all because we have a wonderful program that deals with giving deserving blind people scholarships that they may improve themselves, right? Go ahead, do it. Because you know, the thing is, you guys, if we don't believe in blind people, who will, right? So WCB believes in blind people.
And then in 1973, the Washington State Law Against Discrimination was amended, and it said that it would be an unfair practice or illegal to discriminate against someone in employment on the basis of a physical, mental, or sensory disability. So we had a law here in Washington 17 years before the ADA did in the area of employment. And actually a couple of our first cases involved, the first one was the program for the blind, where Elko Canfield went to apply to be a counselor there. They said, well, I'm sorry, we don't hire blind people to program for the blind. So Elko filed a complaint. And boy, that was an easy one. We found cause for her in a heartbeat. And then a job came open at the Library for the Blind. This way predated Danielle and Jan Ames. We're going to have a receptionist job open. And the nice librarian there, and she was really a very nice librarian. And she didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I'm sorry, I can't hire anybody who's blind to be a receptionist. And we're going, hello? So we had to file a complaint against her. So we were beating up on all the programs for the blind, I guess. But as a result, the person did get hired as a receptionist. And now we have, that was Corrine Watts Barker. Some of you might remember Corrine. And she worked there for probably 18, 20 years before she retired. We had several receptionists. And now, of course, we have two blind reader advisors at the library. But those were the wild and woolly days.
This session is shop till you drop.
There's so many things you can do that will help you be more independent and feel more confident about shopping and, you know, being out there. When you find a pair of shoes, all right, and you've decided, I want to buy this pair of shoes. Even when you click on the description of those shoes in most online shopping sites, right there, because they want your hot little money, right there, there's an edit box. That's the word I was looking for, edit box. And it's labeled quantity, and they've already filled it in with one. So if you can't do a search by headings, always try search by edit box, because it's likely that'll get you to your item. So I was bred to shop. I like that. So I have been part of a structured negotiation with Safeway.com. And the useless, horrible, accessible site that didn't give you coupons, didn't give you nothing, is going away. Safeway has already brought part of its main site into compliance. I can't remember. I think now you can get to the coupon center. You can use coupons. You can actually shop on Safeway.com now. That's how I do Gary's and my grocery shopping.
Good morning, WCB.
Good morning.
Good morning, ACB Radio. Glad to see everybody's lively this morning. This is our 13th employment panel, and I love doing it every year. So without further ado, we have three women this year. We're not letting any men be employed this year.
Our next topic is going to be all about accessible prescription labeling, what it means and what you can do.
With us on the phone today, we have two people whom I'm very honored to call friends as well as colleagues. I've worked with them both. I love them both very dearly. The first is our immediate past president, Mitch, I'm oh so quiet, Pomerantz. And the second is our wonderful guru of all things structured, especially negotiations, Lainey, don't mess with me, Feingold, our structured negotiations attorney. Help me make them welcome. So, accessible prescription drug labeling. Who in this room doesn't want that? That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Okay.
For the most part, if you bring us a problem, we're going to say, this is how you solve it. You go do that. We'll give you the tools to do it, but we don't do it for you. So when someone calls me and said, I just was, couldn't rent an apartment because I have a guide dog. And I say, okay, you need to file a complaint with the Human Rights Commission. And I call them in 3 months and they haven't done it. That's not my problem. And you shouldn't wait and say, well, you know, about a year ago something happened and now I'd like to take it up. Both WCB and ACB have 800 numbers with, the ability to take information and staff who retrieve that information. And when we hear of something, it will either go to Mitch or to myself, or if it comes through WCB, Marilyn calls me. Unfortunately, so many people that think they have a legal or a advocacy problem, they'll just call and they'll say, but I wasn't treated fair. Well, coming under the law isn't always fair. Things aren't always fair. And there are the ADA, the Rehabilitation Act, and the state laws, whether it be here or in California, usually have very specifically defined things that are considered discrimination, and other things that you might think should be discrimination are not. And that's one of the things that Mitch and I probably spent most of the time during our working years trying to keep track of. For example, it troubled me a lot that the ADA said you could not
be provided by your employer personal devices, such as a hearing aid. And yet if you need a hearing aid to do your job, why is it that they could provide me a computer but not a hearing aid for a person with a hearing impairment? And if you were given a hearing aid, you were supposed to leave it at work since it was not supposed to be for your personal use. That gets a little bit ludicrous, I think. And sometimes they held the same extreme with a wheelchair. So I guess you flew to work and then dropped into your wheelchair and then flew back home. I'm not sure. But, you know, they didn't say as a blind person you had to leave your cane at the door. But these are really important issues to take up, because when you're looking at trying to get a job and the employer says, I don't have to provide some of this equipment, and you have to take it out of your own pocket, that can be a real stumbling block.
She said I could. And this has been said, but it, I think, needs to be stressed. An advocate is someone who, before they pronounce something to be fact, they're sure it's fact. You know, we hear a lot of things from a lot of people, and as good, responsible advocates and leaders, we need to go to the source and verify before we vilify or open our mouths or do whatever, because that's just a critical thing. People look up to advocates, and you really weaken yourself if all of a sudden you're like, uh-oh, well, that wasn't quite true.
Absolutely. I used to like it. You know, we'd get the complaint at the Human Rights Commission. They've terminated me, and I don't know why. I just missed a couple of days at work. And then you got the absenteeism report for the last year, and they were gone mostly Mondays, Fridays, and after Super Bowl. And kind of the case just didn't have the same level of credibility. So you do check a little carefully before you get on your horse and ride down with both guns blazing, especially after 30-some years like Mitch and I have done.
Move on to shopping in person. For me, the most important thing about shopping in person is engaging the sales clerk. And so my technique, and again, this is only me, but I'll go in and they'll, you know, can I help you? And I'll say, yes, I'm looking for, you know, a blouse. Oh, well, come this way. Okay. And then the next question out of my mouth, I say, oh, and what's your name? Well, my name is Mika. Hi, Mika. I'm Marlena. How are you? And I really try to get them engaged in a conversation so that they start to take a bit of a personal interest in me, whether I'm, you know, picking up a pound of pork chops or a dress. I mean, I want that person who's serving as my eyes in that store to have a sense of who I am as a person and how much I'm relying on them.
The last time that I called, or the last time that I went, I was asked to call the night before I show up, and that seemed a little excessive, but...
Well, I've certainly had it asked of me, and here's what I respond. I say, you know what? When I can, I will. And when I don't need to come in here at a rush time, I won't. But there's going to be times when I run out of something and I need to come and, you know, you need to help me. And I'm willing to wait a few minutes if I have to. I think it's absolutely unacceptable to call the night before. And if you haven't had a discussion with the manager, I would. And if you have, and it's a chain, I would go the next step. We have, most of you know, my husband is a wheelchair user. And we used to shop before we moved to our current home. We used to always shop at a QFC. And they were wonderful. But they had one wheelchair accessible aisle to check out. And so we're in the store, and we got all our stuff. And the only aisle that's closed is the one that we needed. And so, you know, they were like, oh, well, you know, we'll put your card through and we'll... And I was like, no, no. And they finally opened the aisle, but I went to the manager and I said, you know, that was really embarrassing and pretty off-putting. And he was sort of apologetic, but I thought, you know, no, you don't get it. And so I contacted the QFC headquarters in our area, and holy moly, the regional manager came to my house with wine and flowers and food and the store manager. And I was like, oh my gosh, you guys, I just don't ever want that one accessible check stand closed. You know, if you need to pick up a till and move it, and so, you know, if it is a chain, go further, because that's absolutely unacceptable.
So we moved along, and in the mid-80s, we decided to have some workshops where we would educate people about civil rights. And so we were kind of having a contest between whether Western Washington or Eastern Washington could get more people to conference. So I had occasion to, was going to go over to Spokane to do a news conference. So I was in my, you know, suit and nice raincoat, my briefcase, and I walked down the aisle in Alaska Airlines, and I usually like to sit in the front part, and I start to sit down, and my hands are just touching down the seat, and the stewardess says, by the way, I don't want you to think the blanket is there because we think you will wet your pants. And I kind of, you know, you guys, as much as I had worked in human rights, I was flabbergasted. And I kind of just sat there and I went, huh? And it was 7 o'clock on Monday morning, not my best hour.
Oh boy.
And so I'm sitting there and I'm going, oh my God. And I didn't say anything to her. I didn't even ask her her name. I did all the things that I used to tell the people that used to come to me to file complaints not to do. And so I'm finally getting up to get off the plane, and this guy next to me says, I don't know why they made you sit on the blanket. That's really stupid. I didn't even ask him his name. I mean, I blew everything, okay? So after I got off the plane and got over just being thunderstruck, so I decided when I went back, if they did the blanket again, I wasn't going to sit on it. I was going to make them carry me out, and I was going to be on Channel 5 News. There wasn't even a blanket. God, I was depressed. So I thought, okay, the next thing I'll do is I'll drink all their crappy champagne between here and Seattle. Well, the champagne was crappy, and they didn't give me very much. But I talked to this really nice lady sitting next to me, okay, who was a nun. I didn't tell her about this at all. We just talked. So I stomped off the plane, and John is waiting for me, and I said, we got to go down. I got to talk to the supervisor of Alaska Airlines. And he goes, oh God, what have you done now? Cause I was, and so we stormed down there and I wanted to talk to them to resolve this, you know? And, so the lady came out and I started telling her the story, and she basically said, you're a liar. That didn't happen. And I said, it did. And she said, I don't believe you. So I turned around and the nun who had been sitting next to me was there, Sister Martha Berry or whatever her name was. And she was standing behind me. It was kind of like in the luggage line or something. And she said, I heard your story, and I hope you give them hell. So as a result, if you come to my house, because I did file a complaint against Alaska Airlines, and I did get some damages, and my mother said, you buy something for yourself. And as a result, I have a beautiful china cabinet with all my crystal in it. And, you know, Alaska Airlines kind of learned their lesson.
Yeah.
And, but the lesson I learned out of that, you guys, no matter how many years here I'd been a human rights investigator, when it hits you, when you're hit with discrimination and it says to you once again, we think as a blind adult who's a professional that you're going to wet your pants, it hits you right where you live and you don't quite know how to deal with it. It hurts. It hurt really bad, you know. And there were some nights that it brought tears to my eyes to think I still got a long way to go.
I just wanted to say that I read many, many books in a month and have been working with the Digital Download Project since it was a pilot project.
and long before that have read many cassette books. And Danielle, I didn't get to meet you last year because I was ill. So I just want to say thank you to you and your staff for giving us back the library that I found when I first moved out here. For too many years, we did not have good services in terms of leadership of folks who were supposed to be leading. And I just think you're a fantastic woman. And as a reader and patron, God bless you. I thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Marlena.
And you can buy her a drink tonight in hospitality. But the final battle that I am proud of, and I'm proud of for me and for ACB, as a lot of you know, in 2007, I was diagnosed with cancer. And so John and I started calling around, and we called the American Cancer Society, called other places. And there was books at the library, but they were older. But nobody had pamphlets, nobody had brochures. And I thought, this is wrong. This is just wrong. So I went to our attorneys, Lainey Feingold and Linda Dardarian, and I said, we need to do something about this. And we got a group of people together, and we went to the American Cancer Society, and through structured negotiations, we worked it out with them that now when you call American Cancer Society and you ask for brochures on tape or CD, Braille or large print, they're made available to you. And what that taught me was that out of a yucky situation in my life, I had to find something good to do that would give me purpose and something to some days get out of bed when things were really bad. And out of that, we were able to do a good thing to help people with cancer, not just people in ACB, but everyone who is suffering from this horrible disease.
One of the things that has really been on my mind a great deal as a blind person who is out and about and uses credit cards and shops on the internet and, you know, really tries to kind of look out for my identity is the whole concept of identity theft. And I am very happy that we are addressing this at our convention, because no one is immune to identity theft. In our house, we shred everything, and we have two paper shredders, and I mean, it's just what you have to do these days.
So I tell all these stories tonight, not because I'm telling about me, because I do not think I would have had the courage, knowledge, or maybe even the integrity to fight these advocacy battles if I had not been part of the organized blind movement. So we're here tonight, and we're celebrating 25 years since our merger. 25 years of many men and women who have fought hard to continue good services, good programs. We are walking down a new road tonight. Now, finally, Burl isn't the only male president of WCB. He finally has another one. So we can't just pick on Burl anymore. But we're going to walk down a new road with a new leader, a new president, a new board, and it's going to be exciting. But we look back on the past 25 years and what we've done, where we've come from, and where we're going to be going. We're going to be even a more vibrant, more awesome organization than we are now, because we have the spirit, we have the vitality, and we have the caring that makes us such a wonderful group. And as demonstrated by this banquet tonight, it's been a true honor and privilege for me to have been asked to be your 25th anniversary celebration banquet speaker. I hope I've given you some things to think about. And all I can say is, happy birthday, WCB. Go, gang. Thank you very much.
End of title.
was truly awesome. And with two such dynamic leaders like that, how can we not celebrate and motivate? So you ready for a door prize?
Yeah.
No, you guys don't want door prizes, do you? Oh. Well, Shannon, I guess they want a door prize. So let's do two door prizes. Oh, her mic's not on. Her mic is not on. No.
Maybe this one. Mine's on now.
Isn't technology wonderful? When it works. All right, here we go. There she is. All right, so the rule for these door prizes is that you can't win if you're not having fun. Oh, so are we all having fun?
Yeah.
All right. And the other rule is, of course, you got to be in here to win here. So we're going to start with a really cool knitted scarf and hat from the South Kitsap Council of the Blind. And it's got a $10 cash in with that. And I'm also going to give away $25 from...
Where does this come from, Lisa?
Oh, from Pierce County Association of the Blind. I only want one of those.
That's all one prize. Wow.
I think we got several of those, so I'm feeling a little generous.
Cool.
All right.
Oh, she's generous. Ooh.
Here we go. Oh, Lori Allison.
Yay!
She's working, so she gets it. Okay, can we do one more? One more. One more.
Shake it up.
Give you that. And we're going to do... I have a good system here. It's all... It did not survive the... Here we go. This one is also from South Kitsap, and it is going to be an Ativa mini power bank.
Ooh, I want that.
Plus $10. And then I'm also going to do another one of those $25.
Oh, my name's in there.
Here, let me. All right. How about Colin Fossil?
Yeah.
All right. Woo!
Congratulations, Colin. That's awesome. Colin from Spokane.
Okay, we are going to break. It's 10:30, but if we could do a 10-minute and come back in 10 minutes, we can do some more Constitution and bylaws. Aren't you excited? So let's be back at 22.